Izzy has walking pneumonia. Okay? And Greg is a disease. You know that he has many venereal diseases, and that's what caused him.
That's because we share.
Yes, that's because we share. And then we have Lynn has been through, only you could tell them. What would you say she's been through?
Hell.
Hell. And so I want to send them energy, okay? So let's just do this. Take the energy of your heart and send it into the form of their body and see it glow in the light, okay? Let's just do that for a few minutes. And fill their body with the light. And I want you to speak from your heart directly to theirs and tell them you are loved dearly. Hold their body full of light. Tell them that they are loved dearly. So be it. Okay? You see, there are people in the group who know what I'm about to do, and they don't know the specifics of what I'm going to do, but they know if they come here, they're going to get it. It is hard for you to listen because you can only hear out of right and wrong, good and bad. And I want you to understand something. Your life will never go any further than your parents. I was talking to Ron about this today. You're an Eidsmo, you're a Shambly. I don't know, you have so many last names. How many do you have? You understand, this is all you got. Because that's where you live. You live according to your genetics, your DNA. This is a terrible thing you've done to yourself, but nobody can talk you out of it. and I'm not here to talk you out of it. At this point, you should be much further ahead than where you are. Izzy is the most honest person on this subject. We talked the other day, and she said, I'm gonna come down, I'm not gonna let the bastard get me. But you see, in the case of walking pneumonia, which I get, okay, and it'll probably kill me, but the thing is, you gotta learn to take care of yourself. And she doesn't take care of herself during the time between, let's say, retreat and workshop. She just doesn't do it. The practice gets in the way of her mischief, and she understands that. She knows why she's not here. She knows why. And that is enough for me to be able to say to her, good. It's good. You know. Your body doesn't want anything to do with any of this. You have to understand that. You belong to your parents. You do not belong to love. You do not belong to your soul. You have nothing to do with it. Your heart. You don't have any of that. All you have is your body. And your body is saying to you, if you go to hear that Siraj guy, you're betraying us. And you're loyal to your parents and the background of your parents, where you grew up. So if you grew up in the Midwest, you belong to that. You're doing what Al did. You're not looking at me. You don't want to hear this, do you? Shake your head. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, let's go.
So, you're not going to get a teacher like this again in this world. You're not. And this is not about how great I am. I am. But you don't understand what you're being exposed to. I'm very concerned about the June-July retreat, and I want to talk a little bit about it before we do our thing. Because this is the last time I'll see you before that retreat. I finished the meditations. The boys, let me tell you what the process is. The boys and I talk about the method, and then the boys create the tones for that method. So you're going to get the subtle body meditation. You're going to get what was the other one? I think the heart meditation and then the soul. You're not prepared for any of this. And I told them that. I said they're a product of their culture, their society, and their parents. And they have no aspirations for anything different. And when something is presented that is different, they get sick. Greg's not here because he has a cold. Greg's here because the cold has him. And he has a very tough job, and he, no matter what I say to him, and you can fess up with this with him, he can't hear it. He wants to be on the cover of Forbes magazine. Izzy knows she's betraying her mother and father, and that just bugs the hell out of her. And Lynn, I'll never forget coming out of my door. My neighbor said, Lynn was sitting at the end of the bridge, and I'll never forget the look on her face. She was in excruciating pain, bless her heart. She was. The bone was kind of sticking out of her skin. It wasn't outside the skin, but you could see it. And the minute I saw her face, it all came. And I got it. There are things that I can't say to any of you to help you. I just can't, you just, I've said them, and you have just, doesn't apply to me, doesn't apply to me, doesn't apply to me. But it does. The pain that I saw in her face was the pain I see in all of you. And I knew, I thought, this is going to be the beginning of her end, of her life. This is the way it's going to end.
Yes.
You understand, don't you?
Yes.
That's not what I want for you. I have offered you a way out, but you didn't take it. You thought your relationships, most of you, affect all of you, are in really shitty relationships. And you just stay there, because it's easier to stay there than to get out in you, come out of it within you. You don't have to go get a divorce, but you have to awaken somewhere within you and see, have some sense of realization about where you're at. And you don't have that. You don't want to have that. I understand. But one day you're going to be sitting somewhere like Lynn in excruciating pain, and you won't know why. The thing that you most trust in is going to betray you. It's going to betray you. Greg, Lynn, Izzy, it betrays them. And by the time you realize it and you want to, I'll come back, I'll do, it's too late. There is an expiration time, and you are past it. You are. You should have had this before we left the Asilomar, but you didn't, because you didn't think you had to. You get too rolled up and confined to your circumstances and your conditions. So I have one last thing for you, and these meditations, they're all about watching your breath and identifying with these tones. And they have been especially made for you by not only the boys, but a group of men that get together. Men. Not women. Men. Who have studied frequencies. And you are going to get these frequencies. And if you're cluttered in your mind, it'll just sound like noise. I have weaved them with things that, it's like when you go to the dentist in the old days, remember? And they'd rub your gum with a little, and then stick the needle in, you didn't feel, that's what I've done. Because that's the way you are. Now, some of this isn't your fault because you live in a society and a culture that, you know, doesn't do this. You're very rare to be here. But just coming and getting a shot of Siraj, you know, a couple of times a year is not going to help you. You need to take it all the way. You're going to die by the thing you most love. Your body. And you don't treat it that well either, do you? I mean, honestly. But it gives you pleasure over the pain of the ache that you feel spiritually that you can't recognize, that you never went to your heart or your soul. And you skip that. Ron and I were talking this morning. I always have interesting sessions with Ron. And it was about and correct me if I'm wrong here, about this lady that he knew when he was younger who passed on suddenly. And she was an Adventist, yeah. But she wasn't really an Adventist. It's like, you know, There was something beyond it. He was talking to me about how kind she was, how beautiful she was, the goodness she did. You have to understand, we're like a Japanese garden. We have rocks in us, and our rocks are our thoughts, our mind, our past lives. And yet there's this flow of stream of wonderful energy. I call it divine love. And it just flows. And what you guys all like to do is block it up with your logic and reasoning. That's what you like to do. Because you're body oriented, and nothing is valuable to you unless it helps your body or makes you do or have something you think you don't have right now. Money, a good golf game, a man, a woman, or whatever. But this lady, you can be of any religion, believe it or not, and this thing can pour through you and have nothing to do with the religion or the politics or anything. This is what I found out about Gregory. He can be Gregory. He can be what he is. He doesn't have to be perfect. But this thing flows between the rocks in his head and is crazy, and it just flows out. So when I'm at hospice or I'm with you or we're in a session or we're at a retreat, there's this thing that's happening. You look at it like Greg must have a split personality. You don't get it. Because you only think you're one thing, the fucked up person that is your body. You're fucked up. You're gonna die. And it's not gonna be fun. It won't be transformational. Greg's not having fun. Izzy's not having fun. Believe me, Lynn's not having fun, is she? And did any of these people handle it the way their practice would orient them to? Did Lynn? Did your father? And Izzy isn't either. You just don't get it. One of you said to me recently, you know, Greg, you do so much. Podcast, video game, yeah, you know, the things I do. I can't keep up with you. Why? Why can't you? Because you're in love with your mischief. You are. You'd rather be human than divine. I can't lure you into that, seduce you into that. That's not my job. My job is to present to you what's going on. I've had many different types of students. Some that came and told me that I will never leave you, we'll do this, blah, 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 they quit. Because the practice interferes with their bullshit. And they don't want to do that. They don't want to be mindful. They don't want to be aware. They don't want to be observant. The hardest thing for a person to do is to become observing of themselves. My friend down in San Diego saying to me, he's been through hell. Now he's kind of back. They've taken him off the medication. Now he's not crazy anymore. You know, they'll just fill you full of medication and make you crazy. They will. You won't even know yourself. You'll have so much pain that you'll take anything to make it go away. Anything. You'll be laying there with your tongue hanging down on the floor from the bed. You won't even know who you are. And the only object of materia medica is to keep you alive. That's it. What's the quality of being alive? They don't care. They don't care. So you'll be laying there in this agony or a drug-induced stupor. And like he said to me, I wish I'd never left you. But it's too late. Now you can sit in this room and it's still too late. You can. Many have. And then one day while you're sitting at home playing with your whatever, eating things you shouldn't, drinking things you shouldn't, you'll say, why am I doing this? I'm never going to do it, and I quit. That's what's going to happen. There's nothing I can do. So I'm the doctor saying to you, we've done everything we can. Time for you to go to hospice. You're going to die. But you're not going to die consciously. We're going to go into death next year. It will be excruciating in the beginning. It will. That look that Lynn gave me when I was walking towards her from my front door, that's going to be the look on your face. You know not what you do. Do you understand me at all? At all?
Yes.
So I have an antidote that could help you. But to give you this antidote, it's like casting pearls before swine.
But
29.95.
But what's the problem with that?
Casting pearls before swine? Can't appreciate it. Can't spend it. A pig can't spend it.
That wasn't my point. I'm sorry. Never mind.
Yeah, I know.
You're one of them.
So, what do I want you to walk away from in July from the retreat? I want you to walk away with one thing, and if you do, it'll change everything. And I said this to Lynn, and for some reason, she was in a good mood and she heard it. And I was grateful she did. You have to live love. You are loved. You are love. It isn't the love you want. It's the love that is. You have to live loved. This is the most beautiful thing that could happen to you. Merci beaucoup. Mm-hmm. The chances of you doing this all depend on whether or not you're going to be able to hear these tones, because here's the deal, my loves. And we'll have some tone in the meditation, the offerings today. I look at these as more spiritual exercises than I do meditations. They're exercises to get you ready for retreat. But the tones you have to realize, if you can replace your thoughts with the tones. Many wonderful things will happen. If you notice the goodness that you, the modicum, the small amount of good you do, very small amount, if you realize where it comes from and that it came through you without your permission, then you know it's genuine. When you do it with the intent of getting something back, like going to heaven, or having people like you, or maybe counteracting your sins, and you got plenty of, there's no way you're ever going to counteract all of them. Not in your lifetime. there's too many, you're way down the road. Imagine 60, 70 years of bullshit, you think you're gonna counteract it with one kind act? No, but, you can with the tones, you can change the vibration of your being. So when we're sending energy to Lynn and to Izzy and to Greg, and you see that silhouette of their body, you know, and you fill it with light, that's a noble effort. And then you speak to them from your heart and you say, you are loved. You are loved. Live love. Live loved. L-E-V-E-D. Do that. And everything you do in the course of a day, whether you're making a sandwich or you're making your bed, will be sent to them because you're living loved. You know you're loved. You know it. But you don't know that. You want to be loved from the skin, not from the heart and soul. You can't live your life any other way and have it be meaningful. Do you understand at all? Ronnie?
Yes.
Yeah, well, no. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is very important. You don't live like, I have chores to do. I have people in my life who are assholes. You live loved. You know you're loved. And no matter what you do, no matter who you face, it doesn't matter what how they react to you, you know you're loved. That in and of itself is transformational. And by now you should know that. We got it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let's have lunch and go home.
No?
I gotta work. All right, this is a new thing here. And I'm really thrilled about it, actually. Let's see if it comes up.
Are you going to be sending us this, or do we need to get a copy?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't going to send it out. Did
it come out? No.
Please. Do you want me to remind you?
I think it went to sleep. This thing went to sleep.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
Because I
have a screensaver on it, just a few. Let's see if there is a remote control here, but I have no idea what to do.
You need Kim.
Yeah.
Mike should take.
No, Steve. Hmm? That's what you do. You fuck things up.
I try to wake it up.
You're not getting the help.
It's a man thing.
No. She's going to get Kim here. I think she's in here.
Well, earlier, but I don't know if she still is.
Kim? Hey, we need some help.
No.
What?
We need some help with the.
Maybe I should make it so my computer doesn't go
on. I was just going to say, maybe we can make it where it doesn't go to sleep for a while and then turn it back on for sleep later or something.
No.
Give a look! Eega! Eega!
I'm here, I'm here.
I think that went to sleep, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I need to do is hit that button.
And then just the input button. Okay. HDMI 1 again, it just will make it realize.
Hey, touchdown. Thank you, Doug.
So power, and then just hit this and just select HDMI 1 when it comes up.
Okay,
if it goes to sleep again. Thank you.
Sure.
Pretty wonderful, huh?
Yeah.
Don't have to haul around those.
Yeah.
Those things make Wendy do her work. Fucking bitch.
Do you miss it?
Huh? Yeah, she misses it.
Do you miss it?
Oh, yeah.
He's teaching.
All right, let's look at this. Our theme today is peace. And the reason you're not at peace at all with your life is because you want happiness.
Comfort.
Yeah. Yeah, do you realize what you have to sacrifice to be happy? What do you have to sacrifice? Let's see if you've learned anything from me. I don't know. I don't. It's probably.
Do you want me to do the setting on your computer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think it has to do with Apple. Aren't we happy that Tim Cook is resigning?
Yeah, Tim Cook.
Oh, I think it's great.
Oh, I need your password or touch to get in.
Why are you touching my computer?
I asked you if you wanted
to. I don't feel comfortable with you anywhere near anything.
I was going to put some food in.
All right,
oh, we're going to be here.
Yeah, and there we go.
It's what?
Tiny.
I know. Thank you for noticing. Okay. Oh, God. You're not going to find it. Display. You know, in the old days, this used to be really simple.
Yeah, you hauled around a board. And we copied.
I can listen while you talk.
No, you're in the way. Look at what you're doing. You can't listen. You don't even go to general. I know, they probably rephrased it in a way you and I would never know. No? Device management?
I think it's other devices. Yeah.
Okay. So is there a display that you've got?
That's what I just did.
We'll go to it again, please.
I'm becoming a bigger and bigger low-tech fan.
There's
reason
for that.
She could ask
Siri. Somebody could ask Siri.
I was just getting ready to do that.
Where the...
Can you move the page over?
Go to System Settings, Lock Screen, and set Turn Display Off when inactive to Never. So, System Settings, Lock Screen. You're in System Settings. Okay, and now where it says display, turn off power adapter and battery when inactive, select never.
Yeah, you can do that 2 minutes.
There.
There we go.
Hopefully that's going to fix it.
And make that bigger. You want
the whole thing bigger.
You want it bigger?
Just spread
open
the screen
page.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's manly.
Here.
Yeah, that's fine. Just hold down. Okay. That's manly, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I can make it bigger, but.
Goddamn man!
Can you read it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Make you hard or wet? Which one, Johnny?
Both.
Okay. So let's look at this. I love Jesus. I sound like a Jesus freak, but the more I work on the Tao, the more Jesus' teachings become so very relevant to me, more and more. And I remember when I was younger, I did a whole thesis on Jesus and his the relative teachings. This was one of them, and I got my professors hated me. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees. Do you know who the Pharisees were? They were religion. Mm-hmm. Baptists, Mormons,
yeah.
Adventists. First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. So what is this cup? Greed and self-indulgence. I want you to remember this. We are so at such a self-indulgent culture, society, that we don't even know. After a while, have you ever driven in the snow? Mm-hmm. And you get snow blind? Because everything's white. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, you can't see anything because you're snow blind. You haven't had that happen? It's fun. I've had that happen. We are snow blind by our indulgences. Your lifestyle is so indulgent that you don't see anything wrong with it. Can you understand what that self-indulgence might look like? Like what? You say, and don't say anything.
The gratifications of self-righteousness.
Being
pride.
Right all the time. Is there ever a moment you're not right? Especially if you're a woman woman who doesn't have a penis. Well, some women do. We've had them in the group. Okay? So the whole idea is never to be wrong. Do you ever doubt yourself when you're about to do something you know you shouldn't? Do you ever rationalize your evil and think, well, if they didn't do it, I wouldn't have to do it. You know who they are? Anyone you're going to screw over. Do you understand that at all? You sit there like...
Like if they hadn't done something to me first, then I wouldn't have to do
that's
this
right.
Suggestion.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. So, when it comes to even seeing the cup, you don't have that willingness to do it. You don't have it. You don't want to see it. How wrong have you been in this life?
Totally wrong.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Totally.
And realizing that, you're still going to live the way you do. Because what Emil said was very true. This is just the way I am. Love me or leave me.
So we act as if we're never wrong, or that we're just trying to justify everything is not really wrong. It's... our way of thinking that we can justify everything to be right?
Yes. Is a Trump person wrong? You live with them.
I know. They're never wrong.
No matter what he does. Are you ever wrong in not being a Trump person?
No.
What I'm trying to get over to you in my clumsy way is no matter what decision you make in this world, it's against your soul. It's against your ability to reach your soul, I should say. So what's your cup? The reason you can't just feel loved, is because your cup is so full of wickedness and you're rabid about it. You don't want to look at things for the way they are. Do you not see yet the futility of taking sides in this world? And that everything in this world is convoluted. Nothing is happening the way Gregory Edwards would like to think it's happening. Do you not get that? Do you? So how do you live in this world?
Asleep.
So you just ignore it, go to sleep?
Or I can make up a story to try to make it okay, or I will take my side is right, they are wrong. Unconsciousness is a real easy one to do, just ignore.
I live in some kind of conflict constantly.
What conflict?
You do?
I'm saying if I'm doing that, taking a side, I'm living in a constant conflict. My whole life is going to be just conflicted.
What does that give you?
What it does for me is it hits a genetic cord that serves what used to be an old survival mechanism that makes me right, and it comes from family. It's a family strategy. That's how they survived, so that's how I'm going to survive.
Do you all relate to the truth of what she's saying?
Yeah.
That is right on point. And so tell me why you just continue to do it.
I think there's a bit of defiance. We live defiantly. And I know, but I'm going to do it anyway. And
why? I've got a commentary coming up on obstinance. Many of you shouldn't read it. But
it would change our life.
Yeah, you don't want it. You're obstinate. Why are you obstinate? What is that in you?
Something I can do. I can be obstinate, which, you know, if you don't think you can change anything else, at least you can be obstinate.
I'm indulging myself when I do this.
You are.
That's an
okie
thing.
Just totally indulging myself.
Okie thing?
That's an okie thing.
It's also
you're a hillbilly. Do you understand?
No, I didn't think so.
Because I understand that.
Did you?
It justifies being.
Do you know you're a hillbilly
yes,
too?
I do.
She can admit it. Why can you admit it?
It's just how she is. There's nothing I can do about it. It doesn't matter.
So how do you live with her?
Watching her as often as I can, going to sleep the rest of the time.
Why do you do that?
It's painful.
What's it hurt?
Her ego.
What is our ego? It's something you inherited from your parents. You're never going to get any better than your mother and father. You're going to live just like your father and mother did. You're going to live just like your father and mother did. You're going to live like your mother and father did. Why are you doing that? Mary, why are you doing that?
Pride.
Pride?
Yes.
What is pride?
It's the way to survive.
It's how I what my evil.
Justify
my evil.
Yeah.
Yes.
It seems like I sort of hypnotized myself. So when you were talking about Trump, and it made me think about how I have clients who we often talk about how everybody's very black and white in their thinking these days. But as I was thinking about that, I also saw Haley going, oh, I can see that, so I'm not doing that. But she's doing it too. So there's like this hypnotism that happens. I don't even realize that's the way I'm thinking. I don't even realize when she's justifying and what she's justifying. It's so,
why don't you know?
It's so ingrained. Sometimes I notice, and sometimes it just happens really quickly. It's just been going for so long. Yeah.
Why don't you slow down and watch? Why haven't you developed a witness?
Because I'm so tied into my body, which, because of my parents, my mom in particular, is very much always in a hurry and anxious, and is not inclined to slow down.
You're in love with evil. You are. I can get you to do anything evil. I can. I can do it under the auspice of love and kindness and...
I can call it anything I want.
That's right.
Anything.
That's what religion and politics do.
Yeah.
You know, nobody is calling, nobody in the media is doing two things. Trump called Biden Sleepy Joe. We've got him on video
sleeping
90% of the time.
Yeah.
Nobody calls him on it. Number two, the media does not look at the public and say, you're the reason. You know why? Why?
Because your hands are raised up.
That's right. That's the evil. Watching Zorro. These were interesting TV programs with Guy Williams. You remember him?
Sure.
So, got to this one episode where his father admitted to Don Diego, his son, I know you're Zorro. And the reason he mentioned it, he was having a sit down with his father, because Don Diego was coming under the allure of a woman. And he was thinking of, you know, banging her. And his father said to him, don't do it. If you do that, Zorro will be gone. You have to live for a cause that is greater than your desires, he said. And he said, the people need you more than this woman who will never really love you. And when she finds out you're Zorro, you're done. You have children to take care of and blah, 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 blah. And I sat there and went, if an 11-year-old kid heard that, what would he think? You see, you don't have a higher purpose for your life at all. You're just a nomad. You're just getting through. You're just going through the deserts, just trying to get through without a scorpion biting you. That's it. And the only relief you see is your death. That's the only relief you see. And when you're younger and you don't want to think about death, then you think, well, I'll be a Republican, or I'll be a Democrat, or I'll be a Jew, or I'll be a Protestant, or I'll be a Catholic. That'll give me a higher purpose, but it won't.
The human can't have a higher purpose.
Exactly true. Exactly on point. The human being cannot have a higher purpose. You have to have a higher purpose beyond the human. And if you're ensconced in your family, hey, my family's everything. If you're ensconced in that, what are you really ensconced in?
Your body, your emotions, your
genetics.
Thoughts.
My genetics.
Survival and
I'm not going to come out of that. I don't want to come out of that. Do you understand? That's why you've made no progress. You thought when you came to be with me, you could hide in your genetics and nobody'd know. And you could adopt what I'm saying or listen to what I'm saying and take what you liked and reject what you don't like. That's what you thought. It's amazing you're still here.
We've been using you in the practice,
yes,
to polish our cup on,
yep,
the outside.
You're polishing turds.
So we can make sure the inside, thinking the inside, that'll either clean up the inside or it'll hide it or it'll justify it if we just keep that outside looking shiny.
Just dazzle, yep, people, so with how beautiful the outside is, they won't look inside.
They won't see it.
Yeah, that's all true.
Yeah.
That we hide what's inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it keeps going. Coming out here.
No, it's a bitch, isn't it?
It just squirts all the time.
Well, the really crappy part of that is you get to drink out of dirty water your whole life.
You don't mind drinking dirty water.
Exactly.
Because that's your evil. You enjoy
it. That's my genetics. We're dirty water drinkers.
You don't mind the dirty water.
And it's killing.
Well, what is more important, killing your body or killing your spirit? That's the question. How long does it take for you to feel in your brain, I don't feel like meditating today. I don't want to listen to those discourses on the doubt. I just don't. How long does it take?
Split second.
How long does it take you to think, you know, I'd like a cookie?
another split second.
You just take it.
Impulse after impulse after impulse.
That's right. There are things in our brain, if you read Sapolsky, that explain all of this. And he goes into nauseating detail. And I don't want to memorize all of the brain things that he talks about. I just want to know how they work. I don't care about their names. But one of them is, and that he talks a great deal about, is what constitutes the unconscious mind. The more unconscious Gregory Edward is about his own mind, the more he will be led to impulse, and he will do more impulsive things. He will never look down the road and think, what will this lead to? He just won't do that. Because all he wants is what he wants. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So when I walked up to Lynn, and she, bless her heart, her whole life flashed before me. I saw everything in a moment. You can have that too. You can see everything in a moment without having to sit there and talk to anyone. I knew what she needed. I knew how to give it to her. I got the ambulance there, blah, blah, blah. But while she was there in pain, I watched the people around her, and they have absolute, you're just a piece of meat. How do we get you into that contraption and get you to the hospital so we can get to the next one? And you know why? Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Because they get paid for how many they scrape up, you know, roadkill. They have this big shovel there. Did you know
Soylent
that?
Green.
Huh?
Oh yeah, the scoops.
Yeah. It's a
the
scoop.
Scoops.
Yeah, yeah.
Over the top.
And with Lynn, you need a forklift. I mean, nobody gives a shit about you.
Then she said, when she was there, they could just get her out as fast as they could, and they just sent her home on crutches without
right.
ever
mm-hmm.
even
yeah.
whatever. They just moved that section. We got to move on, you know. Didn't care.
It's a bed. It's a mm-hmm. spot. It's an open spot. We need another bed.
No, I just didn't care. It's what Alfie said. They just didn't care. Mary was there. Did they care?
Not at all.
Nobody likes you anyway. I've given you the four noble truths of Gregory Edward Penn. Nobody. They don't like you. They don't want anything to do with you. You eat, you shit, you eat, you shit. They have to clean all that up. And your pain does not matter. You have a pain in you now that nobody cares about, and you know it. You can't talk about it with anybody because you know nobody gives a shit. And if you admitted it, your pride would go down the tube and your ego would be throbbing, going, why did you tell people that? You know what your secret is, don't you? Maybe you don't anymore. Maybe it's so hidden deep inside your unconscious mind, you don't know what your secret pain is. But whenever it starts to crop up, you go and eat a cookie, or you go and do something indulgent. I do liquor.
What color?
Brown.
Brown.
Dirty liquor.
Dirty liquor.
I do dirty liquor. Do you understand what we're talking about here? This is huge. If you go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist and you pay $400, $500, $600 to sit with him for an hour, he has no answer for you. He's just going to give you a prescription.
That's what most people want.
Yeah.
That's exactly what most people want. You're right.
Give me a pill.
They just want it covered up.
No, they want it quick, fast, easy.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely correct. That's the way it is.
That's why they shop therapists.
Well, Lynn knows where to get the drugs.
It's that, and they're looking for a therapist who's going to tell them what they want to hear.
That's
what
right.
they're shopping for.
Yeah, yeah. It's not
whatever
your fault.
They want, they're shopping for the one that's
it's not your fault.
Do it.
Yeah.
Whether it's drugs.
Okay, do you want to go potty?
Yes.
Yeah, go.
So there are two bathrooms in the next building.